and the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Russian economy, the ruble, the currency of the Russian economy. There is disagreement about the ruble, and I ask for help from Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, who's been my guide in the Russian economy, because some weeks past, Michael and I had a conversation right after the mutiny, or whatever it was, by Prigozhin, and I saw that the ruble was moving extravagantly weaker. And then the mystery of the ruble in general over this 500-day plus of the war. Michael, a very good evening to you. The number doesn't tell the story. I read from Bloomberg right now an assertion by a Bloomberg columnist that what we're looking at is the ruble's fall, but it's and pain, but not collapse because of the ingenuity of financial officials. However, my memory of the ruble is that it rallied a little after the beginning of the war when there was panic. Once the panic lifted, it rallied. And I remember it being somewhere in the 50s or 60s. It's now over 90 and weakening all the time. In addition, there are very distinguished voices who regard the Russian economy as on a downward trajectory that cannot be reversed and probably won't even be reversed if the Russians negotiate and stop the killing. For example, Yale University's Jeffrey Sonnenfeld and Stephen Tian insist that the Kremlin is testing the resilience by cannibalizing Russia's productive economy in order to fund the war. Tian writes that Russia is barely breaking even on oil exports and suffering from an overall drop in commodity prices, which forces Putin to squeeze state companies and oligarchs with surprise windfall taxes. You've reported on all this. That's accurate. Does this affect the ruble? Does this weaken the ruble, how they're cannibalizing? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you. The economy is on a slow downward slope. It contracted again in the first quarter of 2023 by 1.8%. In 2022, it contracted by 2.1%. We don't have the data yet for the second quarter and for the first half of the year, but it is slowly declining. And there are several factors. One is the war itself, and then there are Western sanctions which reduce oil revenues and contribution to the budget and increase budget deficit and control some very important imports. And then there was, of course, the mobilization of 300,000 young men from the labor force to fight. And then there was an exodus of human capital, which is estimated from 500,000 to 800,000 skilled people who just ran away from Russia, from war and from mobilization. So all that contributed. The ruble then fell. After the war started, it fell from 80 rubles to the dollar to over 100 rubles. But then, because of at the time, for a short period of time, natural gas prices and oil prices increased, major Russian exports, the ruble strengthened. And it was 50 rubles for the dollar in the summer of 2022. And now it's 90 rubles for the dollar. So the dollar strengthened by 80%. The ruble fell by 45%. So it's a significant decline. It's declined almost by half. And there are several reasons. One is indeed the sanctions force the Russians to sell oil at below crude oil at below $60 per barrel. Another one is that their own exporters do not repatriate, do not return export revenues. They stash them abroad, and the sales of oil revenues in dollars to sales domestically in Russia fell by 20% in the first half of 2023. But another ironic reason is their own policy, which is not very clever, which is not very smart, because they said that they don't want dollars anymore. They want to have trade in bilateral currencies. They sell to China, they sell to India, and they sell in rubles and Chinese renminbi, Indian rupees. So the share of dollars, the share of Western currencies in their exports fell from what now it's a bombshell, dramatic data. The share of Western currencies fell from 88% of their export revenues that they bring to Russia to 38%. And this means that they have, even if they sell oil, they have fewer dollars. And of course, then that's the market. And the ruble collapses. Yes, the ruble declines very significantly. So it fell by 45%.
The article in Bloomberg argues that the Russian financial authorities have been letting the ruble slide, that they don't need to strengthen it. Is that accurate? What, and how would that give them an advantage to see the ruble weaken?
The situation in Russia since the early 90s and now is such that the interest of the Ministry of Finance, the interest of the Ministry of Budget, the Ministry of Finance, the interest of the budget are in conflict with the interest of the central bank. And so there is some kind of seesaw there or some kind of swing. So, yes, when the dollar sells for 80 rubles or for 90 rubles, then, of course, more rubles come to the budget as revenues, because the budget collects ruble, collects their revenues and their taxes in rubles. So they want weak ruble. The central bank wants a strong ruble to support the currency, because otherwise there will be a panic run on the ruble, as we saw for a few days of the mutiny when the ruble fell to 200 rubles for the dollar. So they are sort of in a little kind of institutional conflict there.
The ruble is not convertible, correct, to overseas. It's an internal document. So how do they arrive at what the ruble is? I tell an anecdote. I visited Russia in my youth, 20th century, during the Cold War. And I remember the official exchange rate was 2 rubles for a dollar. And then we were told, because we were Western tourists, that if we go around the corner, we can get 7 rubles for the dollar. Now, that puzzled me at the time, because I said, who makes these numbers up? Okay, it's 40 years later. Who makes these numbers up? Where do they come from?
There are two kinds of convertibility. One is external, another is internal. External is if you go to Bank of America or any bank in the United States and you want to sell rubles and get the dollars. They will show you to the door. So there is no the same happens in Italy, in England, anywhere, even in China. So there is no external convertibility. The ruble is convertible and has always been convertible since 1990 only inside Russia. So it's internal convertibility. And then, based on the discretion of the central bank and on market forces of the supply and the demand, the rates is determined. But now, since the war started, they again abolished internal convertibility and they control the exchange rate. So every day, every morning, the central bank sets the official rate, and then tries to support it. But, of course, people go to certain exchange bureaus, exchange banks, and some of them don't have dollars at all. They don't sell. And the government allows only to sell the dollars which were received after April 2022 and not before. And so it's only what brings the dollars back from exports. And so it is, I would say, kind of semi-market and semi-fiat government exchange rate.
Therefore, the ruble right now is being defended by the central bank when it feels like it. And the central bank is in charge of this. Can they stop the slide, or is the slide that underway? Is that going to increase no matter what they do? We have a few seconds.
No, they cannot stop the slide because imports are increasing and exports are declining.
Right.
And so it is a situation in which the ruble will be weak.
Michael Bernstam for the Hoover Institution explaining that deal I didn't take in 1985 in Moscow. I'm John Madden.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.